Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the session. Absolute panic. It's only 15 minutes between sessions and 45 minutes, so double panic. It's number one, getting ready between the sessions. Number two, getting all the information done in 45 minutes. But what I want to do is, in the next 45 minutes, really talk to you about what the Azure AD is all about. How many of you are currently using Azure AD? Okay, that's probably about a third of the audience. How many of you have got Office 365? And that's a little bit bigger. So if you've got Office 365, you already have Azure AD, but you may not be exploiting it to its full potential. So I just want to cover off, first of all, what are today's identity challenges? Why do we want Azure AD in the first place? I want to look at the Microsoft options and what they're currently offering us to solve those challenges. And then we'll get into the AD itself and synchronizing that with on-premise, our on-premises AD, access to applications. And then I want to look at a couple of options. One is the B2C option and one is the B2B to see how we can stretch outside our boundary and bring in consumers in the B2C offering, but also work with partners in the B2B offering. So the problem today is that we have resources absolutely everywhere. So they may be on-premise, they may be sitting in a partner cloud, they may be sitting in a public cloud, and there we may be using software as a service such as Office 365. And then, of course, we could have the private cloud as well. And then we got our user that wants to gain access to absolutely everything. Now, at one time, we could actually say, well, yeah, we can do that, but it's from your desktop. No more. It's from any device as well. We need to be able to deal with that. And then we've got multi-hop. So we're hitting one service that goes off on our behalf to another service. All right? Or we could actually have a service that is acting on our behalf while we're not even logged on. So it's doing things for us, going out to other services with our identity, and we're not even logged in at that point in time. We need to deal with all of this. And the one good factor about it is all done these days with HTTPS. All right, so that's our transport to get there. So it's a combination of this application absolutely anywhere, and how do we authenticate to it on-premise? Exactly the same way as we do in the cloud somewhere. All right, exactly the same mechanisms needed. Our users could be our own users, they could be partner users, they could be customers, and the device could be anything. We need to deal with that. The next job is, where's the identity? The identity could be in our own on-premises AD, it could be in an enterprise identity provider, it could be a social identity, so a Google Plus identity, maybe a Microsoft account, you know, Facebook, and so on. So users anywhere, any device, identity anywhere, any type, applications anywhere, and we have to mix it all up together. And that's where the federation comes in. So gone are the days of doing it all with Kerberos or something like that. We need a completely different set of protocols. And federation needs to give us an identity framework which will work anywhere and allow authentication and maybe some contribution towards access control as well. It needs to be built on industry standards. And of course, you know, like all industry standards, there are standards and then there are standards. And it's to do partly because some of these protocol definitions are frameworks rather than precise implementation details. So if we're mixing and matching across boundaries with different providers of the protocols, we may have to do a little bit of twiddling in the middle. WS Federation, SAML have been the sort of protocols, they were considered as enterprise protocols. Microsoft very much backed WS Federation. So when they brought claims to SharePoint, it was done through WS Federation. You will find WS Federation still lurking around inside Azure in the way that it handles its own authentication. But to deal with the game changers, which are our devices, we had to look at new protocols. And this OpenID Connect, which is used for authentication, and OAuth2, which is used for authorization. If you're interested in getting into those protocols in detail, the second session I'm doing tomorrow is really a deep dive into how those protocols work and how they sit within your environment. If you're going to build an identity system, there's a whole bunch of nice-to-haves. How do we do password resets? How do we do self-service? You know, self-service password resets, self-service to access to an application, self-service to group membership, and so on. Multi-factor authentication, absolutely essential these days. Detailed reporting and auditing, really essential as well, because now we've got to, you know, if authentication is becoming our boundary to everything, we've got to make sure that authentication really works. So we're looking at multi-factor, but we're also looking at analyzing what's happening. So if a user who never, ever makes a mistake with his password or her password does it three times in a row, should that be flagged? Probably. There's something going on. And is it three times in a row from a device they've always come on from, or is it three times in a row from a new device? Right? Maybe we need to take and say to them, you need to supply another couple of factors. So what we want is we'll send you an email. We want you to confirm a verification code we're sending it, and we want a multi-factor as well. So the actual ability to mine data is becoming really important. User enrollment, how do we bring users into the system? And of course, you can think of a lot more ideas as well. So just to go to the basics first of all, we've got a user. That user wants to access application X. And what he does is he goes to a security token service and says, please, can I have a token to application X? And that security token service will authenticate the user or may send them off somewhere else to get authenticated. Right? But ultimately, they are authenticated by that security token service, and that security token service will then issue a token specifically crafted for application X. And that crafting of the token means the security token service needs to know about application X. And it will digitally sign it, which means that if that application is going to verify the signature, the app needs to know about the public key information for that certificate that it's signed with. And what goes on the token? Pretty much anything you like. So do you want to put the name of the person? Maybe not. Maybe you're working in an environment where actually all you need to know is they've come from the sales department. But what you want is the sales department manager's phone number and his email address. You decide how you craft these tokens. So Microsoft's skin in the game for solving this is they have, and it's ADFS 2016, all right? Because ADFS previous versions do not support OpenID Connect. Remember, OpenID Connect is about authentication. OAuth 2 is about delegating access. The previous version, the one below that of ADFS, has some support for OAuth 2. But not a lot, okay? It was really done to support things like the when you actually did the workplace join. They needed to bring it in for that. But it's fully supported in 2016. If you want to figure out how you configure it, come to my session tomorrow, because you may have, how many of you work with ADFS? Okay, so you will have set up relying party trusts if you've worked with ADFS. Now, you don't do this through relying party trusts. You do it through a thing called application groups. And I'll show you how we set up an application group tomorrow. ADFS as a STS, we have an STS sitting on-prem. It can now authenticate not only against AD, but also against LDAP directories. So that's a change in 2016. It creates tokens, and it creates tokens for relying party trusts, but also now it can create ID tokens and access tokens when we're dealing with the modern protocols. It will accept a token as proof of authentication, and then it exposes a whole lot of endpoints. That all works. Perfect. Fantastic. The problem is that's what you need to support it. All right? So we've got, you know, at least two ADFS servers in a farm, maybe three. We need a configuration database. We're going to expose this into the internet, so we're going to need a farm of proxies as well. If we look at Azure AD, what have we got? We've got an identity store in the cloud. How do we manage it? If you want, there are two portals to manage it with at the moment. One is a pretty portal, and one is not such a pretty portal. And I'll mention that again later. And then you've got APIs. You've got APIs. You've got REST APIs. You've got Graph APIs. So you can do it programmatically. You can do it with PowerShell if you want to. All right? All your developers can develop and create all the users up there. On the other hand, you could take all your users from on-prem, and you can sync them into the cloud. So now all your on-prem users are sitting up in the cloud. So what does it do for you? It opens up the world in terms of identity. So we could actually authenticate to, well, number one is Office 365. So if you've got Office 365, you've got an Azure AD behind it. But your apps, where are your apps? On-prem, in the cloud, somewhere else, all right? Where are the partner apps? On their premises, in the cloud, all right? And from an application gallery, you can select sort of 2,600 plus applications that you can do single sign-on to. Question, but it has to be very quick, I'm afraid, because of the short time.
Yeah, premium, is this
required?
AD premium?
Sorry, AD premium? Yes. Okay, so good question. Is AD premium required? I love questions like that, which are amazing questions when there's a slide that backs it up in a minute. All right? So the infrastructure to support Azure AD is one of these today, is an Azure subscription. Now, if you've got Office 365, you don't need an Azure subscription. But if you want to add all these additional features, right, you will need to put it today in an Azure subscription. Right? Tomorrow, you may find differently. But today, you need an Azure subscription to bring your directory into that subscription. So if you had an Office 365, you can bring it into your Azure subscription, and then you can manage it through the portals and do lots of different things to it. The new portal allows some tasks today to be performed without subscription. Right? So if you want to create a new directory, you want to bring it in so it's visible in the portal, that's all got to be done through the subscription. But there are certain tasks you can do which you don't need an Azure subscription for. So if I'm today, if I was working with the old portal, sorry, Microsoft, the classic portal, if I was working with that, I would have to be a co-administrator of the Azure subscription. Now there are things I can do without having to be a co-administrator of that subscription. And this should answer your question. There are different flavors of Azure AD. And what you've got is you've got free. You're limited to 500,000 objects. You're only allowed to do SSO to 10 apps per user. All right? You can sync from on-premise AD, and it's got basic reporting. Right? And then as you go up, you've got more features. So the basic ads, you've got no limit. You've also got this thing called the application proxy. If you're interested in that, come to my next session where I'm going to cover the application proxy. And you get an SLA with basic. You've now got the WAS premium. There's now premium one and premium two. And of course, what's the difference in all of this? It's pricing. Right? So premium one gives you the advanced reporting. Self-service for groups, self-service for apps, multi-factor authentication, MIM, you got a MIMCAL with it, and a whole lot of other features, right? How do you know about all the features? There's a great new table that the guy at Microsoft, he's so proud of this because he's just got it. It's been missing for a long time, but now it's there. I suggest you go there. You can also jump to pricing from there as well. Because you can now get all these features through an enterprise agreement or on a per-user pricing, which you can just buy. So what the Premium 2 then gives you identity protection and privileged identity management. And identity protection is where all the mining of data starts happening and feeding back in, so you can make conditional access decisions. And then there's the Office 365 version, which is similar to basic, but doesn't have the app proxy, which is in the basic. But as I say, go and have a look at this table for full details. How do you create a tenant? Well, if you've got Office 365, you already have a tenant. And what you'll need to do is bring it into Azure, a subscription, so you can start manipulating it fully. Alternatively, you create your own, and you do that through the Azure portal. Currently, it has to be done through the classic portal. The initial user you create will be username, your tenant name, which needs to be globally unique. So you type something in, you know, XYZ, you know, and what it does, it says, no, somebody else has got that. So you try all sorts of different combinations. Normally, if you put the first three letters of your company or something in, and then something else, you'll be okay. But you need to choose a unique tenant name. And then your first user will be John or whatever at thetenantname.onmicrosoft.com. So there's the two portals, this classic portal here, which we, and then you've got the new portal, which is all written in HTML5. It's beginning to look really good. The Azure AD aspect of it only lit up on the 22nd of September. So very new. You can't do everything in there, so quite often you have to jump back to the old portal to make changes. This is for Azure AD. There will be no new innovation in the classic portal. All the new innovation is coming in the new portal. You can customize your logon. So we've got the ability to customize the logon itself. And this is actually running. This is the logon we use in a masterclass that I run. Okay, so let's have a quick look at this. So I'm going to switch over here, and we're going to go on to starting off in the new portal. So fire up to the new portal, and I'm going to choose an option. I'll go into a different user for the moment. Let's just go in just to show you the customization. So I'm going in my organization's portal. So there we go, it's the XT Seminars portal. We'll go in here and we'll go to the user tour from the masterclass. And we have a rather strange name for tour, but that gives me the ability to have multiple domains in the classroom. So we log in as tour. And as I say, this new portal only lit up on the 22nd of the AD aspect of it only lit up on the 22nd of September. So let's just hope it's all going to work. Okay, so what we've got is a sort of dashboard for everything, but let's actually go off and start off looking at, let's just look at a couple of things. So domain names. You know, your first starting domain name is onmicrosoft.com. So that's the first one I've got in there. And let's just zoom in on that so for the people at the back. So I've got another couple of domains. As I say, this rather strange naming is we've got one.ad.xtshub.com. So in the classroom environment, we can have 2.ad, 3.ad, 4.ad as different domains. That first one, the 1.ad, is actually federated with the on-premise AD. And I'll come back to what that means in a moment. And then we've got 1.users, where Tor is from, which are users actually created in the Azure AD itself. Okay, so let's actually add in here a domain just to see how we might do it. I just call it mydomain.com. Apologies to whoever owns that. I'm not actually going to really attempt to add it. But what it does is it just gives you the option of adding either a text record into your zone to prove you own it, or now an MX record instead. So you just need to add a record to prove you have ownership of this thing. But we're not going to do that because I don't actually own it. So we'll delete that. And we'll have a look at our users and groups. Now, this is a very user-centric view. So we can have a look at the authentications that are taking place. If we go to all users, we can see all the users in the directory itself. And let's have a look for Harry. So there's Harry Lime, and he's at 1.ad. So if we have a look at him, and again, details about his sign-ons, etc. But if we have a look at his profile, what we'll see is that in terms of his profile, we just scroll down a little bit, we'll see that he is actually from here. Let's just zoom in. He's a type member, so he's just an ordinary user. And he's from the Windows Server AD, which means he's come from on-premises. So he's come up from on-prem and he's been synced up. Okay, if we go and have a look at directory roles, what we can do here is we can actually, we can add him here as as a user, a global administrator or a limited administrator. And if I have a look at groups, I can actually add groups. So it's very, I think they've done a really good job of this new interface because it's a bit more clunky in the old portal. So we can add groups in there. If we go back to the dashboard, what you'll see over here is we have identity protection and privileged identity management. So for those who are being very observant, which version of the Azure AD do I have? P2, well done. So it's the premium 2 there, which this is what that comes with. Certain things you can't do in here. So for instance, you can't do in the old portal, you can't do the B2C. So the B2C service is done through this portal. So we could go in there, but I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is just close off that and just go straight over to the classic portal. And do remember, at the moment, this is just the new portal has just gone from private to public preview. So you are going to have to come back in here and do most of, well, not most of your work, but certainly some of the work on your directory. So we'll actually be doing that over here. Okay, that gives you a very quick look at you know, the directory and particularly the new portal. So don't get frustrated if you find you can't do it in the new portal. Its functionality is probably not there, right? So you have to revert back to the classic. So how do we integrate as AD on-prem and Azure AD? Well, we need, first of all, we need directory synchronization service. And there's the Azure AD Connect service for doing that. And what we can do is decide to synchronize our users and our groups from on-prem up into the cloud. That's one option. The guy signing in, what he's going to have to do is when he's signing into the cloud, he's going to use his username and a different password, which is probably not a really nice experience for our users. So what we can do is synchronize users' passwords and groups up. And it actually synchronizes a hash of the password hash. So even if someone came along and stole all the password hashes out of the Microsoft Azure space, they're not going to be able to use those in your on-prem AD. I pressed the wrong button. What happens now is we have the same username and password. It's not single sign-on, it's same username and password. So we use the same username and password on-prem as we do in the cloud. Another option is to synchronize user groups and say we want to use SSO. Right? And SSO means we're going to go federated. And what will happen now is we will actually come back down to on-premises ADFS. And believe it or not, 48% of people currently implementing Azure AD are doing this. So 48% are actually coming down and synchronizing to on-prem ADFS. If you want to, you can do a multi-forest sync. Exactly the same thing happens. We come down. So we have to build an on-prem ADFS infrastructure. Now, before last week at Ignite, I couldn't talk about this, but now they've announced publicly that they're implementing a pass-through authentication mechanism. Does anyone use Okta at all? No one? Just one hand. Okta have an ability to do, if you like, federated SSO without the ADFS infrastructure. they have an agent that runs on your domain controllers. Well, now they're doing an agent-based. So we'll be able to do pass-through authentication, so you can actually authenticate against your on-premise AD, right, without the ADAF infrastructure. And where will that sit? Well, it will sit in the middle of those people who are currently using ADFS and those people who aren't, and it'll just push out into both sides of the space. But they don't expect a huge penetration, because these guys that have got an ADF infrastructure, they're probably using it for authenticating their on-premise applications. So just to show you that federated SSO in operation, let's just do that. And what I'm going to do here is close out of that, and I'm going to go to an application which is called OIDC, and don't worry about it too much. It's an application we use in the masterclass for testing out all the different OpenID Connect and OAuth2 authentication mechanisms. This current page here is anonymous access. I'm going to go single sign in with hybrid flow. So I'm going to sign in here, not as Tor, who's a user up in the Azure AD, but as Harry. And we're redirecting now to the on-premise ADFS server. So sign in as Harry, and there we are. So what we can see is actually we've signed in with sts.windows.net, but that has actually issued the token, but the actual logon was with the on-premise ADFS server. So what happened is we actually hit the you browse the application. This is slightly different because this is showing you browsing the application, and the application is saying you're not authenticated. Well, I allowed you to go to that first page in my app and then click on a link. So it says you're not authenticated. And then what happens, it says, it sends it back and says it redirects to the Azure AD. And there's a redirection string that says how you should authenticate. And if you want to know what that string looks like, come to my session tomorrow. So it does a home realm discovery, and it does it via the UPN. So this guy, Harry, was at 1.AD, and he said, 1.AD.xcshub.com. That is a federated user, which means I need to redirect you down to your on-prem ADFS. So we ended up going down to the on-prem ADFS. We authenticated against the Azure AD. If you're using 2016, we could authenticate against something else, like an LDAP directory. Well, it's LDAP compliant directory. So you can actually authenticate against an untrusted AD forest, because that is a compliant LDAP directory. We get a token back, which comes from ADFS. That token comes back here. We can't send that token to the app, but what we do is we send it back to Azure AD, and Azure AD then says, yep, you're authenticated, great. I'll issue a token for your application. And that's exactly what it does. So we get another token coming back, and that's the token for the app. Present it to the app, and then we are authenticated. All right? And to get all this working, of course, we synchronize our AD up into the cloud, because we said this is a federated domain. All right, how do we know it's a federated domain? Well, because that user had the login name, which was a federated domain. Well, to get that user from on-prem, we need to get him up into the cloud. So that's why we sync. Okay, if we've got applications we want to gain access to, we've got this challenge. We've got apps absolutely everywhere these days. And what we can do is we can actually, we could have lots and lots of passwords. And again, actually, my session tomorrow, I'm going to talk about lots and lots of passwords. That's the first session tomorrow. But what happens when you join or leave a company? You could have orphaned access to lots of different applications. And also, how many apps have you signed up to that are not approved, right, by your organization? So to solve this, what we can do is we can use the password vault, or selecting an app from the application gallery. And when we select an app from the application gallery, we can authenticate to that app in a number of different ways. It depends on the app these days. It could be using federation, which basically means we go to the app, we're redirected up to the AD, the zero AD, and we come back to the app with the token. If the app doesn't support that, we have the capability of using password vault, which means we store the username and password, right, for that app, and we access that by logging in to Azure AD. So there's a secure password vault up in Azure AD. Ideally, in the future, everything should go for federated authentication, because that means you never need to pass a password over the wire, except for that one logon to Azure AD. There's another component that you can use, which is Cloud App Discovery. And that runs an agent on all your machines in your enterprise and tells you what cloud apps are being used by people. And you can use it and that analyze the data that are coming back from there to look for non-approved applications. So that is a component that you get with Azure AD, as long as you have the correct edition for that. Something like 2,600 plus SaaS apps, it sort of changes fairly regularly. We add the SaaS app, and as I say, it could be federated, it could be that you're using the password vault. Having done that and given it to a user, and actually the user can self-service themselves to applications if that's set up, and again, we have the correct edition of the Azure AD. We get to these apps through the access panel, and the access panel can be customized to look like your corporate access panel. And it's fully available for, you know, you can download from the various stores. So let's have a very quick demo of the Azure Password Vault. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here to the access panel, and I'm going to log in as my user Tor. Okay, so we're in as Tor, and hopefully, yep, the access panel's turned up. Oh, look, new look coming. Try it out. Why not? This is the great thing about Azure. Things change on a fairly regular basis. So this is in preview. That looks quite interesting. So what I've got is I've logged in, right, to the access panel. Now I've got SSO to everything in there, all right? Some of this lot will be federated, you know, so what will happen is we will go to select the app, and what will actually happen is the app will say, "Hi, you're not authenticated, but I know who can authenticate you. It's Azure AD." But we've already authenticated to Azure AD to get to the access panel, so what do we have to prove that we're authenticated?
Token.
A token. Almost. But it's more yummy than that. A cookie, yes. You actually have a cookie. So you already have a cookie. So all you do is when you're sent back to Azure AD, you present your cookie back, and then you get a token for the application. Right? So the application, we pass the token, and then the application will say, "Oh yeah, that token's good," because it'll check the signature on it, and then it will give you back a cookie. Right? So it's sort of continuing authentication is done through cookies. When the cookie expires, you'll go back and you'll have to, you know, go through the process again. So what we can do here is we can select LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is an SSO app using the password vault. And it's going to whirl away and it's going to redirect to LinkedIn. It's already populated the actual username and password. Where did they come from? They came from the password vault, right? And what you can do with this, of course, you can actually have a single account which gets to your corporate Twitter account. And now what we can do is we can have a number of users using the same entry in the password vault. So they all, you know, half a dozen users or whatever you decide can get to the Twitter account, right? Be slightly wary though, this is done through injection into the browser. So any of those users who can gain access to the Twitter account, in theory, can get the password for the Twitter account. Although the administrator sets the username and password up, they could actually read it because it's an injection into the browser. It's an injection into the browser. You can very simply read it if you want to. You could fire up Fiddler, for instance, and then you'd see the password. If you want to add your own applications, you can do that, and they could be, in terms of authentication, WS Federation. It's a new protocol, WS SAML. Sorry, I wasn't meant to talk about that. It's a secret at the moment. WS Fed SAML. Why do we even carry on mentioning those? They're there. They're out there. You will have to interact with them at times, all right? All of the new innovation is being done in things like OpenID Connect and then OAuth 2. Remember, those three guys up there are about authentication, and this guy here is about authorizing one service to access another service on your behalf. And again, if you want to know more about that, come to the authentication deep dive tomorrow. We can authenticate users to Kerberos apps using the Azure AD application proxy. That's another possibility. I'm going to go into this in detail in the next session. But just to show you, what you have is the proxy endpoint sitting in the cloud, right? So up in the cloud, you have a public IP address, and obviously you have an external URL to your internal app. And what happens is you come down through the proxy to the connector endpoint, which runs on a server sitting inside your corporate network. And if we're connecting in through HTTPS, what will happen is we'll go through the connector, and then that guy inside will make an HTTPS connection to your published application. Right? So we publish through the proxy, really simple process. We want to go into the detail of that, come back in just, 20 minutes time. So let's just do, just as an appetizer, or for those who are not coming back, let's just have a very, very quick look at that. So what I've got here is I'm going to my Windows Auth application. So I'm just logging in here, and what I'm logging in as is I'm actually sitting in there as I come in to the windowsauthapp.example.com, and we can see that we've actually come in as Kerberos. And notice down the bottom it says authentication authority asserted identity. I'll come back to that in a moment. So what I'm going to do now is go in through the proxy endpoint. So this is all set up. We'll see how to set it up in the next session. And let's just grab that, put that in Notepad. So this guy here is the proxy endpoint. And if you don't like that, you can set up your own domain names and use your own domain names. This comes with a certificate. So there's a star.msapproxy.net cert that you get for free from Microsoft, so you can use it. If you want to put your own domain name in there, you'll have to put your own certificate up there as well. Okay, so we're going to go there now. So let's close that off. And then what we're going to do is go and double click, and we're now logging in. So we've come to the proxy in the sky. We're logging in using one of our users. And that's, remember, this guy, John, at 1.ad.xthub.com is a federated user. And there we are. And notice the server asserted identity. So when we're working on-prem, what it's doing is it's authenticating directly against the KDC, all right? Now, this is a service asserted identity, which means actually the connector endpoint has used Kerberos constraint delegation to get us a Kerberos token. So it's the service that's asserted the identity. So come back and have a look at the next session if you want to see more detail. If you want to reach consumers, there is the B2C service, and it's got all sorts of policies, a sign-up policy, a sign-in policy, an edit policy, and even more policies, password reset policy, and so on. And what happens is we have the policies to control the user experience. What does it look like to sign up, all right? If you're going to sign up, do you want to sign up using a Microsoft account, a Facebook account, an Amazon account? You know, you decide how you sign up. Or a local account. So we've got a local account sign up there as well. What attributes do we want to gather from the user? What do we want to know about them? Which city they live in, etc., etc. We can control all of that as well. So we've got that capability. It stores the information in a tenant. This tenant is not like an ordinary Azure AD tenant. It is specifically crafted as a B2C tenant, right? So you get yourself a B2C tenant rather than sort of saying, oh, I want a premium or something else, okay? I think the best thing is just have a very, very quick look at that. And so what I'm going to do is literally just go to have a B2C experience. And what we'll do is we'll go to my B2C endpoint. Again, it's a similar profile to, or similar app to, so I'm going to sign up for B2C. This is sign up, not sign in. Okay? So I'm going to sign up, and it's going to give me, I've only got two identity providers. I've got the user ID sign up, and I've got Google. I'm going to go for the user ID sign up. And at this point, what it does is it asks me for a username, which we'll verify to see if it's available. We want a password, and we want an email address, and that has to be an email address where a verification code will be sent. Right? You will then put in the verification code, which says, okay, yeah, I understand that you're a user. And then below there, I've just got city, and that's the only attribute I want. So apart from the username, I want to know which city they're from. But you can decide on the attributes you gather at the sign-in stage. Right. So that I could sign up as a brand new user here, but let's actually have a look. Rather than signing up itself, let's have a look at the experience when we sign in. So now I'm going to sign in to my B2C. So it's going to take me across. I'm going to use Google account. So it shoots me over to Google. I use my Google identity. So that's, and by the way, when you do it for the very first time, you'll be asked for consent. But I've already done it, so I'm just going to log in as this guy. And what we'll do is we get our token back, and what you can see in the token is the issuer was Microsoft Online, so that was the Azure AD that actually issued this token, but the identity provider was Google, right? So very easy to set up social identity, allow people to enroll, and automatically they get the ability to do password resets as well. So with this, you don't have to go for an addition of AD that allows you to do password resets. It comes with the B2C directory. And then just to finish off, if we want to reach partners, we've got Azure AD, we've got our own application sitting down there. That's our Azure AD. And we say, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, Joe Blogs could be able to gain access to our application? So what we do is we create an invitation, and we send that invitation via email. And in the email, it will sort of say, hey, Joe, come and use our application, you know, and there's a link. And what Joe will do is he will click on that link, right? And Joe will have a certain email address, joe@xyz.com. And the first thing that's going to happen when he clicks on that link is the first thing is a managed tenant exists for the user? Does a managed tenant, does Joe exist in a tenant that is already existing in Azure that is managed? And if the answer to that is, it automatically creates a federated trust between the two. You don't see any of the traffic because it's all happening within the cloud, right? But it does that. So now we've accepted the invitation, and this guy up here, Joe, in that particular tenant can gain access. If no tenant exists, what it will do is actually create a tenant. So it automatically creates it, And so if joexyz.com, there is no tenant at all, what it will do is it will create an xyz.com tenant, but it's unmanaged. Now you might be thinking, hey, what happens if I want to take over my xyz.com domain? Well, you can do that. You can take it over or you can merge the users from it. So you take it over and you chuck all the users out, or you can merge it. And then the next option is, if the user is present in an unmanaged tenant, you just establish the trust. And the final there, if an unmanaged tenant exists for the user's email domain, but the user is not present, the user is loaded into that unmanaged tenant. And so we could have an unmanaged tenant now for xyz.com, but it can be taken over and become a managed tenant. A managed tenant is where you have verified your domain name into the cloud. So in summary, what will Azure AD do for you? It's core identity authentication and authorization service for distributed applications, devices, and users. Right? Support for the modern protocols, which is really important for our devices. It simplifies making SaaS in-house and partner applications available to users with SSO. So ideally, what we'd like to do is move in the future not to using password vaults, because we don't want passwords passing along the wire. What we want is federation. Right? And you can integrate with on-premise AD, and there are many additional supporting services and enhancements that you can use. And a good place to start is that if you go back to that table that's there, you can see the complete list. So in exactly 45 minutes, that was a lightning tour of what AD, Azure AD can do for you. I hope you've enjoyed the session. I'm going to go out to the experts area after my next session. So my next session's in 15 minutes, but I need to get ready for it.